You turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah. Let me, I want to share the beginning of a progressive, 1144. I want to just briefly share with you a beginning of a progressive kind of call to war. And let me do this real quick. Guys, you're going to have to stay with me on the notes. I'm going to jump around to abbreviate and get where I want in time. Nehemiah, which is right after the book of Ezra. Nice. And right before the book of Esther, nice. Okay, in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, the scriptures say, the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah, and some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province and are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept for some days. I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. This book of Nehemiah lists the last historical move of God in the Old Testament dispensation. I believe there's significance with many Bible teachers that it is very much the same as what will happen in this last dispensation of the New Covenant. It's a very, very important book. The exiles are the Jews, just for context. The exiles are the Jews that had been delivered from Babylon. They'd been stirred in Ezra 1 by the Holy Spirit, and there were some other gatherings of people from Babylon, which they were in by judgment. They had come back, and they had restored the temple of God in the capital city of the earth, Jerusalem. They had gone back. Nehemiah is back in this captivity place, and he is a cupbearer for the king that's really ruling the earth. He inquires to find out from someone who had been there, how are my brothers, the Jews, the covenant people that have gone back to the land as God promised, how are they doing? And he gets the testimony, they're in great trouble and disgrace. Now, if you read Ezra and Nehemiah were one book at one time. If you read that, it looks good. There's stuff going on. They had some warfare, but they get the temple restored. They've got the temple restored, the meeting place of God in the capital city, Jerusalem, and there's sacrifice going on, worship going on, but this is still not good enough. They're in great trouble, and they're in great disgrace. The exiles, I believe, represent us, the people of God, being delivered from the world and the world system. We can be delivered from the world and the world system by being born again, by being part even of a worship system, life, community together, and our lives can still be in great trouble and disgrace if we do not have the completion of what God wants to do. Jerusalem, this great city, had the temple in the center of it. This is simplicity way to do it. Had the temple in the center of it where the people of God would worship, and surrounding the great city were the walls. And there were multiple gates in the walls as you went around. When this city got devastated 70 years prior, or a little bit more, by Nebuchadnezzar and all of them, and they ransacked the city, they not only tore the temple down, but the enemies of God's people ripped the walls and the gates down. So, God's people were back in the land, in Christ, where they should be. They're got the temple built up. They're worshiping and interacting with their God in covenant again, but they're in trouble and disgrace. And the reason they're in trouble and disgrace is because the walls are torn down and the gates are broken down. Jump with me, if you will, to Nehemiah 2, verse 11. I went to Jerusalem, Nehemiah. After staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few men, and I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. Verse 13. By night, I went out through the valley gate, through the jackal wall, and the dung gate, surveying the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Jump with me to verse 17. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. And Nehemiah says, come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. They replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. An honest survey of our lives, of our families, homes, and of our city, an honest survey would be, God has done some great and gracious things. He saved us out of multiple deals because of his mercy. We're not only biologically alive, but we're spiritually alive. The gospel has broke through. It's an amazing thing. But an honest survey would say that we on a regular basis are in great trouble and disgrace. There's all kinds of trouble happening around us, and that's because our battle's not against, what is it? Flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of wickedness. Yeah. So there is something more than you just getting delivered from hell so that you can go to heaven. And oh, how we want you to do that. We want you to get out of Babylon, out of and be exiled back, if you will, put back into the land of Christ. Powerful deal. We want to see that deliverance, and we want to see thousands and thousands in the city. And they will. I promise you, I bank my life on it. 7,000 to 8,000 people don't know the Lord in the city. It's going to be powerful. We're going to make El Dorado Lake busy with baptism waters. But we're going to get some people out and in. We've come out and we're in. But we can be in the place that God has us and still be in great trouble and disgrace if we are not exercising the authority and building the walls and the gates back in our lives. I wanted to challenge you all to a complete and thorough survey of your life. Praise God you have salvation, but there is more that you have than salvation. We lost two primary things, all you foundation class people and people that have been here. From the garden, mankind lost two primary things. We lost life and we lost authority. Jesus restored both. He got us back life in him as life, and that life is the light of men. He brought back resurrection life. I've received the life. The life's working in me. Though I die, yet shall I live. I've got indestructible life, but I also have the restoration of the authority that was given to man in Genesis 1:28. A blessing was given to man with authority on planet Earth. Jesus stood and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And we have that back, but we have the option as the people of God not to exercise that. I believe that the not exercising of the authority is the broken down gates and walls. You have authority more than you know. You have the power to affect things around you. And I tell you, we're never going to undo that prophecy of Jesus. He said, I promise you, you will have trouble in this world. We will have trouble. We'll have multiple trouble. But the kind of troubles we're having now, it can shift and change. Our troubles are much different than the apostles' troubles. We're all trying to dig out of the messes that, number one, our selfishness gets us in, and the people around us' selfishnesses get us into. We're having the trouble in a lukewarm atmosphere. There's trouble in the hot atmosphere, which is where we want that. It's trouble. It involves martyrdom. It involves a lot of stuff. But we're experiencing the trouble of lukewarmness, not obeying the word, not covering ourselves with prayer and the authority of God. Well, I want to help bring an end to that. I feel recommissioned from the Lord to call you to your inner chamber with the word of God and with prayer to introduce you back to your God. I want to see couples reintroduced back, knowing that their primary relationship is not romance and it's not finances. Your primary relationship is spiritual. You have a covenant partner, man and woman, to get powerful things done by prayer. Executing Matthew 18:19. Everybody agree, say amen. Powerful. We want children to grow up, want a spouse, because primarily they want a spiritual partner in covenant. They're not looking for something a movie in Hollywood taught them about. God forbid. We can shift it. So we'll preach it, we'll model it, and hopefully we'll see something rise up and we'll see prayer-anointed partners raise up that'll do great things for God. We can shift it, and we'll see that. But in the midst of our lives, I believe an honest survey of our city even, you've heard the numbers. You know the number of pregnancies out at the high school. It's shocking. You know the number of the drugs. You know the number of the unsaved. I said it, 7,000 to 8,000. Our city, though it has a remnant of grace within it, is lying in ruins. It's in trouble and in great disgrace. It really is. And I'm not being Mr. Negative. You don't need to be Mr. Negative unless you've got a positive answer. I have an answer. I'm so excited because I understand This is what it is. Praise God for the ministries that are in town. The brothers were praying. Some awesome breakthroughs. But I tell you what, you touch a little bit of the Lord, you want a lot more, don't you? I mean, if it's the prayer, I've prayed, I bet, thousands upon thousands of times. No lie. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done where? On earth as it is where? In heaven. You can't pray that without your expectations and passions rising for what you want to happen on planet Earth. I've prayed it and messed myself up. Somebody should have told me better. It's the track I run on is that prayer from the Lord, when you pray, say. And so I've prayed it, and I think I've executed change on planet Earth. I've executed change in my home, but I've also been changed and ruined. I don't want it like it is in Seoul, Korea. I don't want it like it is in Florida. I want it like it is in, tell me, heaven. I have been enraptured with the vision of what heaven is. I'm laboring for it to be like it is in heaven, where the supremacy of the Lord Jesus is operating. There's worship, there's glory, and there's liberty. There's no death, there's no darkness. As long as there's death and there's darkness here, what in the heck would we relax about? You know? As long as there are gangs and drug lines coming in here and drug chains and kids out there blaspheming more than they're worshiping, how in the world could we settle down? Is everybody with me? Now, we want to see this happen in your homes. We want to see the walls rebuilt. And I want to just take a couple moments. Guys, I got to run quick. It says in Ezekiel 22:30, I looked for a man among them who would build up a wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it, but I found none. And I just want to say, with no guilt, I want to call you forth without shame. Everybody looking at me, especially the men, rouse yourself just for a moment. But youth, look at me too. Look, everybody, wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, for Christ wants to shine upon you. Listen, it's almost over. All of the planet and the change of the age is upon us. At the end, your portfolio will not be looked at the throne. Wake up, O sleeper. It will not matter how much money you have, how much fame you had. It's going to matter what you did in Christ. Look at me, men. Listen, I know you didn't have great modeling at home. I know that someone didn't teach you how to pray with your wife, da-da-da-da-da. But listen, you are men without excuse. Because the word of God's come, and God is a good father. And it begins this journey of getting your home in a kingdom realm. It begins with one tiny step. Then another little step. And you can't get the kids to be quiet, and you're da-da-da. But set them down. I tell you, this is an endeavor worth your time. And I want to call you, O Eldoradians, with our geographical area. We want your life to be filled with the kingdom. But, oh, there's so much more. There's so many people in trouble, and we've got to reach out, and the Lord can help us. Isaiah 62, 6 and 7 says, I have set, and this is Isaiah speaking, watchmen upon your walls, O Jerusalem, who will never hold their peace day or night. You who are his servants, and by your prayers put the Lord in remembrance of his promises, and keep not silent, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. I have become, at 41, a more patient man. Today, you rewind me 20 years, and I want to preach a sermon that has every one of you shouting, jumping, and saying, Sam, where's the battlefront? I'm going to be patient, because I'm going to keep coming after you. I'm going to keep coming after you, and I'm going to keep coming after you, and we're going to get ourselves established in the Word, established in the Spirit, the kingdom established in our homes, and God's going to raise up an army. So here's my investment. That part of me would want me to preach till 12:30 or 1 to get you done. I'm going to get out of the flesh. And I'm going to say the last thing I know in the Spirit. Listen, the Lord is posting people on his walls. What it said in Amplified Version was, those who are people who put the Lord in remembrance of what? His promises. He loves it when we remind him of what he said. I'm telling you, he's not ashamed. He's like, who are you to tell me what? When you start saying, You said this, and now we lay hold of it with our hearts, and we want it for our lives and for our city. I tell you, his heart goes, pleasure. They get it. They're starting to get it. They're starting to align their hearts and their minds with what I've said. I tell you right now, this is a season where the Lord is posting us as watchmen on the walls. Walls in our homes, walls in our lives, everywhere. Hey, these walls are more than just prayer. Let me say this and then go back real quick. Listen, listen, listen. If you're sinning, what does everybody say? What do you need to do? Repent. So if you're sinning, if you're participating in the stuff of the world, I don't know why you would do that. Let me tell you what you're doing. You're committing suicide. You're not dabbling around for a little while until you decide to turn to the Lord. You're dabbling around with death. If you sow lust and pride and greed into your heart, you're going to get death trees of lust and greed and pride in your life. Does everybody know that? We've all had that harvest too much. It is time that we rise up as wise farmers and begin to sow the word of God like we've never sown it. Guys, throw the prayer schedule up in the themes real quick. I want to lay this before you and call you families to repair these gates because we got some problems. Is it coming? Maybe I said it too quick. Sunday, we're going to pray for missions. We're going to pray for Israel and for the nations. Three times a day, and we're going to pray for it here. This is a mission. We want to pray for missions and keep laboring. We're going to pray on Monday for kingdom power and miracles. Who knows that we need more of the manifestation of the power of God in our city? If you do, say amen. Power to save people, power to forgive, power to heal the blind, power to heal the deaf, power to touch high schooling kids who are more addicted to sex and drugs, the power of God to fall upon them and to draw them. We need the power of God. And we've got verse after verse after verse as we say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Come in power and manifest. We're going to labor that on Monday. Revival in the church. The church needs to be awakened, and we've got a plethora of verses for that, and we're going to labor for that. We labor that with the pastors. Harvest of the lost, evangelism, I drop it in your mind again, 7,000 to 8,000 people who are on a speedy way headed straight for hell. Is everybody okay with that? Is that a guilt-ridden question? Listen, are you okay with that? Sadly, we probably are a little bit. 7,000 to 8,000 people hanging over an eternity, that it's not good. We can do something about it. Marriages and children, we do not need to toy around hoping that we have marriages that just don't divorce. We want vibrant marriages that prosper. We want obedient, godly children filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? How in the world would we not invest prayer toward that time? We're struggling. Everybody that struggled in your marriage a little bit this week, say, oh my. I knew it, Calvin. Amy and I, did we do it this week? Yeah, we had a pretty good week. Write that baby down. We got issues. Man, we can just be praying. And I mean on Monday and on Tuesday, we're ripping it. If the right stuff happens, I am not so arrogant anymore to believe that I have the patience and the stuff to protect this marriage. I'm going to ask my God for grace. I'm going to stand over my covenant, whom the enemy hates, and I'm going to say no. No, Lord Jesus, protect us. I claim your promise. You said it's not good for a man to be alone. We leave and we cleave. We pray you bless our covenant and our union. I think we're arrogant if we're not crying out for help for that. And we need to cry out for others that are troubled. And we'll kind of minimize this marriage counseling stuff we got to do, right? We'll let the Holy Spirit do that. Children, we want them obeying and touch with the Holy Spirit. Holiness, listen, this sensual, greedy American dreamness. We've got to invest some prayer over this, guys. We've got to invest some prayer. Men, I'm telling you, we got to pray for the sanctification of our sexuality. And all the men said, sanctification of our sexuality. We will not be deluded by Delilah. We will not let, you know, Herod's stepdaughter dance to there's the cutting off of John the Baptist's head. Our eyes will not go there anymore, but we're going to pray and we're going to fight and we're going to pray for each other because it's a war. The world dances before us trying to get our attention. We are arrogant if we think that we can battle that by ourselves. Did everybody hear what I said? I need your help. Amy is a fox. Has anybody noticed that? And all said? I'm going to get it. Talk about a fight. I'm going to get that when we get home. But there are other pretty girls on the planet. Huh? Vying for my attention. Hi, Vi. Sorry, Vi. Didn't mean to do that. I've got a girl named Vi. I mean leveraging for, walking by, not dressing modestly, not having wisdom that they're distracting me in the faith. Listen, I need the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. I know how to be free from that. It's Galatians 5:16. If I walk according to the Spirit, I will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. I tend to be a leaky vessel, and I need corporate help to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Is everybody with me? Calvin, I will help you. Chip, I will help you, O cable boy. I will help you. Because listen, you carry the testimony and the power of God. I don't want you messing around and being distracted from your beauty, Joanne. Right? Isn't she a fox? I've not noticed, but I've heard it from you. I want him to be satisfied. I'm praying, man, there's some Song of Songs verses and Proverbs that I can't quote right here with children in the room, and I'm praying them about Amy. May I be satisfied all the days of my life with blah, blah, blah. Right, Ron? I will. I'm just tired of the fall of the preacher, the fall into immorality of this guy with that. Man, it can stop if we'll build the wall up and close the gap. And we'll care for each other. I don't want you going after money. It's every day calling out your name. I need Sean's help to help me not be greedy. Let's go. Let's labor. And let's close the gap. Last thing is on Saturday, we will labor about money. And I don't want that to be confusing. We're not praying for more money. We're praying for freedom from money on the inside. We're praying freedom from debt on the outside. And we're praying that we would be generous on all occasions. I want God to make about 1,000 millionaires in here. That'd be wonderful. Millionaires that are a pipeline that let that money go straight through to widows and orphans. You only need food, clothing, and a place to stay. In Timothy, it says, if we have food and clothing, we will be well content with that. Give me an American who's saying that. If I only have food, clothing, 3-4 cars, I want a little better house. Everybody with me? You dirty, dirty, greedy people. We live in Disneyland that keeps telling us we deserve more. Wouldn't it be awesome to see rich people who are prospering, serious money's being downloaded on them, and they're like going, I'm just really good with some food and clothing. I'm totally content. We're into you prospering, but we need to labor for a miracle like that. I got mission after mission after mission. We're involved in at least 10 missions of orphanages, feeding people, and all that kind of stuff. They all need money. We need a miracle. We need some pagan millionaires' hearts to be changed by the power of God. It's spiritual warfare that money is being held up and not used for the purposes of God. We can go get that if you'll show up with me and we agree and we unlock the power of God. I end with this. Jesus said, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Let's let him build his church. He builds the church. But then he says to us, what? And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of God. And you will bind and you will loose. He builds us. We get keys. The weird deal is we could keep the keys in the pocket and never use them. They're no good till they're pulled out and ignited in an ignition. I'm just asking for us to go through a time here where we begin to operate and exercise these keys. And we will change our city and we'll stimulate more than an Augusta mayor and more than a Leon ministerial alliance. Let's get our city changed and then let's touch the nations. What do you say? Amen? I know I've lied 3 times. And I'm done now with this. Just so you know, my top 2 prayer requests. Number 1, I'm praying for Gideon's army for the house of prayer every day. I crave to the point I feel my heart thumping in me. I crave 300, Gideon's army, 300 worshipers and intercessors that are day and night in and out of the house of prayer. I crave it. Do you think God could give that to me? Just minister to me as the body of Christ right now. Forget the sermon. Sermon's over. Look at me. I'm praying a prayer, and I want to know from the testimony of the body of Christ, could this possibly be the will of God? 300 men, women, children, rich, poor, black, white, I don't care what color or how they smell. Well, I kind of do care how they smell. But I want them to be 300 people roaring in and out of the house of prayer so that we get flow of the Holy Spirit, and when it comes and the miracles happen, and they will happen, God gets maximum glory. I want three. I don't want a building. I like this. This is fine. And we're looking for other places if we grow and we're too much out of the space. We'll find places to meet to get out of the rain. Everybody okay with that? I don't want a building. I have no passion for that. Millions of dollars. I'm going to go off. I want an army of prayers. Will you pray for me as I pray about that? An army of people who will lay hold and be serious and pray on a regular basis. Gideon's army. Secondly, I'm praying Genesis 1:28 for every one of you every day. Every one of you every day that it be restored to your life. Genesis 1:28. You know what it is? And the Lord blessed them, and he said what? Be fruitful, multiply, fill, subdue, and rule. I pray that over the verse, Isaiah 60, verse 22. The Lord says, the least of you will become a thousand, the smallest of you a mighty nation. In my time, I'll do it suddenly. I have two prayers. One for Gideon's army, give me 300. Number two, I'm praying that you people start being fruitful and multiplying like crazy. We don't have to run an ad. We don't put a big billboard up. We don't build a three. You are the evangelism. You are the multiplier. You become fruitful and you multiply. And the least of us becomes a thousand. That's all I'm praying. Okay? Please pray with me. Let's all stand. Father God, I thank you in the name of Jesus for wisdom in our hearts. And Lord, I thank you for this beautiful body here, the beloved, your beloved, Lord, that I want to handle with care and touch with care. I thank you for the bride of Christ that's in this room. Lord, I pray right now, all that was flesh right then would fade away by the power of the cross, and all that's the work of your Holy Spirit would go deep. I pray you stir up a people, a Nehemiah people, who are troubled by the disgrace and the trouble, the testimony not being restored, the walls and the gates being broken down. I pray for an honest assessment and survey of our lives. And I pray for the execution, Lord, of a people, families, a corporate move here, not centered around a man, not centered around a ministry, centered around Jesus Christ, a people filled with the Spirit. And Lord, a people who will not settle for walls being broken down and gates being busted. I pray for a people who have wisdom to break away from independent living. May we be a dependent people on our God and on one another. I pray you do a miracle, Lord, a miracle in the house of prayer. 300, Gideon's army, bring them, God. Praying the word of God. And Lord, I ask that the least of us become a thousand. I pray for thousands and thousands of disciples to be made. Disciples that multiply. Mothers and fathers in the faith that have kids, after grandkid. And I just pray a last blessing over everyone's personal life with you and over their homes. Would you watch over them? Would you care for them? Lord, would you protect their hearts from being swayed by this world? God, we just commit your people to you and pray that this word find good soil and produce back 30, 60, and 100-fold. We thank you so much for what you've done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.